Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, world, and welcome to Studio Day Heffrey, but also Studio Day Brian Broaddus.
What's up there, big timer?
Hey, buddy. It's been a hot minute since a broadcast of
me
and
you. Man, where did your? I thought I was like gum on your shoe. I never thought I could get rid of you like that.
No, well, you got rid of me, but then somebody else got rid of me, which I think opened up the ability to talk to you again. And so it works out great.
I'm laughing in sadness, to be honest with you. I really am.
Nobody yeah, you did. You texted me the day of and you said, take that, MF-er.
Yeah. No, jeez. No. Trust me. Hey, you know, when I got let go of the Cowboys, there's nothing worse than reading your name in a newspaper getting released. You know, Todd Archer's got a story, Clarence Hill. I mean, all these guys are writing stories about you getting let go, and you're like, okay, what do I do now?
You know, yeah, at least you get to see
the Raiders, and
at least you get to see
whatever, you know.
I didn't get to see Bill Parcells naked before I got fired. At least you got to have some really cool experiences. Anyway, Brian Broaddus.
Hey, you're probably, you know, it's probably a good thing in your life you didn't ever get to see Bill Parcells naked.
Yeah, but it's a fun story. Brian Broaddus.
It was horrific. It was a horrific story. Don't act like that you enjoy my discomfort the way you do.
I do. But I do. Brian is a former Dallas Cowboys scout. If you're somehow aren't aware of Brian's history, Brian Broaddus is somebody who was a mentor, took me under his wing, and I probably don't have a career or a Cowboys following without the great Brian Broaddus. So I appreciate everything about this sweet, sweet man who is now staring at you on my channel. And we haven't been able to talk for a while because we've worked for separate employers, and that can get wonky for people broadcasting, but now I don't have an employer. Mm-hmm. So we can hang out and we can talk about draft. And so, I mean, if you want to respond to me saying that you're an incredible person who's done a lot for a lot of people's careers and that we love you very much and that you're the godfather of Dallas Cowboys draft talk, you can. But other than that, I just want to talk to you about the Cowboys draft they just had.
Well, let me respond really quickly then. We got through another draft, got through another draft show. But you're a huge part of what we did on the draft show, the growth of the draft show. We always talk about Ed Cahill. We always talk about Derek Eagleton, the Jones family, for allowing us the platform. You guys, when I was at DallasCowboys.com, you and Kevin Turner were two of my favorites when it came to this thing. And I love Dane Brugler. I love everybody that's taken a part of this. This is not an easy thing to do, especially when you have a full-time gig, you know, and you're trying to, like, you guys were doing shows. You were getting off at 7. You were coming to the Star till 11 o'clock at night, 4 hours of working on tape, just because you had a lot of pride in your work. And, you know, it's easy to work with people and try and mentor and help people that want to do that. You know, I mean, there's so many guys and gals out there right now that, you know, are just so excited about the draft and want to be a part of it. But you guys, you and Kevin Turner, Dane Brugler, huge part of where the draft show is today. And I'll always be grateful for you guys for doing that, because as I said before, it's not an easy thing. With that being said, let's talk about this draft.
I should have grabbed my draft show polo. It's in my room. I should have put it on for this show. You couldn't beat it when it was me and you and Dane and KT. It was exhausting, and it was a blast.
It was like you just never. the times that we would sit, and I wish people, there was a couple of times, I know Jared Sandler came up one time, and we had a couple of different people show up, and it's like, and they were surprised, like, man, you guys really do this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, we do this stuff. I mean, you don't want to sound like a complete jackass doing this. I mean, you can get embarrassed really fast doing this. And so you have to put in the work. And I really do, again, appreciate everything you guys did. Because, like, I'll always remember the Blake Bortles talks and the, you know, I'll always remember those where you just get roasted. And it was very much like what we dealt with in a draft room when I was with some of these teams. I mean, you get roasted on, guys, and you and KT did not give me much of a break, and I tried not to give you guys much of a break either. So it worked out all right.
I swear to God, people who are tuning into this, Cowboys draft talk coming up in a second, after this reminisce, because one of my favorite things is that we always had like candy bowls out there, and we would all, it would be on each of us.
Candy,
yeah, we had to rotate who would bring a bag of candy, yeah. And KT always bought really cheap off-brand candy. It was very strange. But one of my favorite things is I've been trying to quit dipping for like 15 years sometimes, and sometimes I'm not, and sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
And Brian basically wouldn't let me because I'd get out there and I'd be in a bad mood or I wouldn't be paying attention. And he's like, look, bro, after the draft, like when we scout, you dip, lock in.
Yeah. I'll tell a really quick story. Promise. We'll get to this draft. We're 5 minutes in. So we haven't seen each other in a while, so we can talk about these stories. I did that. Jeff is absolutely right. I was the worst influence because I developed a friendship with the people with the Reese's company, Hershey.
Senior Bowl people.
And so they would send me free candy and Jeff would just punish it in the bowl. KT would bring cheap candy. You're absolutely right about that at times. The thing was, I would always tell Jeff, because I was used to scouts that would chew tobacco or dip. So I got used to it. I got used to the smell sitting in a room. And I remember, like, I would run the controller, and I would, Jeff's right, I would turn around, and I would look at him, and before I even said what player we were going to start with that day, I'd look at him, and I'm like, all right, man, pop in a dip, let's go. And it was kind of our way of starting the night, you know, when Jeff popped in a dip, now we can go scout.
It's our hands in the middle, go team.
It was like our locker room speech. And I didn't feel really guilty about it, but because I knew that we needed it. I knew we needed KT, you know, bringing bad candy. And I knew we needed you dipping for us to really put together a really good board. So I'm glad I experienced all that. I apologize. If you're struggling with it right now, I do feel somewhat guilty, but not really guilty, because we needed it, Jeff. You did what you had to do to make a scout better.
I'm an adult. I'll figure it out. Yeah, and then we would whoever picked a player, we would alternate picking players to watch off of wherever you find the names. Sure. And if a player sucked, we would just yell at whoever picked him. Like, God, what are you doing, Brian?
He got to the point.
I'd watch six plays and I'd be like, I got him.
Yeah, Jeff. KT'd pick a guy. KT loved to pick running backs.
God, did he ever.
He'd pick a running back, and the guy's like some like directional small school. And KT's like, I'm like, where'd you get this name? Well, you know, man, I got a guy. I got a guy in the league that's telling
He's missing me an arm, Kevin.
His running back's like 5'7", runs like a 4.78. KT, he's scouting him up like it's Caleb Williams, you know. And then it was so funny, the awkward silence when it would get to like the eighth play and the guy was not any good. And Jeff would go, I've got him. I've got him.
Yeah, I'm good. You guys good?
I got my good.
There's nothing better than a five-play
so
scout.
Mad. KT would just get so mad. Like, you know, like, hey, KT, you could take a break from picking some players for a couple of
Brian's favorite line when he would pick a bad player, I'd watch six plays and I'd be like, I got him. And Brian'd be like, give the guy his due.
Yeah, I'd always say,
can we give the guy his due?
And I knew the player sucked.
But he was waiting. He was trying to find something.
I was trying to find, but I love
Wait,
that,
did you see
man.
That? You and, straight arm. Long arm, maybe. Yeah. Let me run that back.
Yeah. I'm like, KT, where did you get this guy? You know what? I talked to this guy. He's he's a scout with the Buccaneers.
Cowboys 2024 draft, yeah, Brian.
How about that?
What'd
you think?
So I don't actually even know your thoughts, which is great because I have avoided lots of things as I've been kind of busy doing other things.
How's that golf game working?
It's working. I mean, I'm going out there a lot and swinging. Yeah. I think they had, on the whole, I would say, hey, good draft.
Yeah.
It was a good draft. Yeah. I think that their trade down was awesome.
Okay. And then trade down rides again.
And the Captain Trade Down loves to ride. Captain and
Trade
then
Down, he loved that overpay by the Lions for sure.
Oh, we love a good trade. Now, don't get me wrong. I could have stood there and made that pick.
Oh, you because were having the that Bama from Alabama, weren't you?
Oh, I would have loved to take that corner from Alabama. You're talking premium position, premium prospect for me. I would have been like, just take him.
I knew you would have.
But also, that's a great trade down because the fact that they overpaid and the fact that I think you got a four-year starter in Cooper Beebe with the extra pick and it let you pick a guy that – I want your Tyler Guyton thoughts because mine were, I get it, I see it, I understand, but I fear bumps in the road.
Yeah. I don't think you have the player wrong. I like the player. And – you know, we were getting towards the end of the run of the tackles. And depending on, you know, what you thought about the BYU kid and, you know, with, and there were some people that really liked the BYU kid a lot. Morgan from, you know, Arizona was another one that, you know, people.
I loved him.
I felt like he was a tackle. People talked about him as a guard. So when you got to Guyton, there are things about Guyton, and I know you watch a lot of Oklahoma football. You know, your family's you got
more than I mean to,
Oklahoma program. So you watch a lot of Oklahoma football, much like I watch a lot of LSU football. So the thing with Guyton is I felt like the athletic ability is clearly there. Sometimes the hands and the feet don't always work well together, you know, and you get to that point as an offensive tackle. This is where I think you're drafting BB makes a lot of sense, and I'm trying to kind of tie them together. I think BB might be more ready to play now than Guyton will. And, but
for sure.
Not to say that Guyton, and I'm not trying to, you know, as we say in the world, you know, kill the kid. I'm just trying to say there are some things that this coaching staff is going to have to work with on him. But he does have size, and he does have athletic ability. And you can watch him play in space. And there are times where you're like, okay, bro, you're a big man. You got to finish now. You're a big man. You've got to run through that guy in space. But I, you know, the movement skills, the size, a lot to work with there. A lot to work with there. You know, I thought, man, that Troy Tanu came sliding down the board from Washington.
Oh, I loved all the Fs. I wanted one of the Fs so bad.
Law firm of all the Fs were
Fuagu, Fatanu, Fashanu. Oh, come on.
Gosh, they were all good players. But yeah, that kid, he got close, and I was like going, man, the draft gods are about to throw him a break here, you know, and he got taken just ahead of you. But I think going back with Guyton, that there are some really positive things about him as a player with the athletic ability and the size. There's some things technique-wise that they're going to have to work with him. And, you know, the kid, it sounds like he's got the right demeanor. We got a chance to talk to, you know, a lot of folks on day three. The scouts were extremely happy with the player. The line coach was extremely happy. I think the line coach is the one that pushed this one through, Jeff, because I felt like
I hate that.
You know, with Barton, with Barton being on the board, though, too.
Yeah, you know, you could have had him at 24. You traded away from it.
And see, this is where I think, and I had somebody in the organization tell me this, because I was like, I asked the question, I go, if you would have had your fourth round pick that you gave up for Trey for Lance, would you have taken the center? And the guy said, no, there's the premium of the offensive tackle is better than the premium of what the center is.
And I have to take that and praise them for that, because sure. I can't speak out of both sides of my mouth nope. just because of how I feel about the individual prospect. I think sure. that's being really arrogant in your eyeballs. I'm a believer in that. If I want early picks, if you believe in the prospect, to go to premium positions. So I liked Graham Barton more than I liked Tyler Guyton.
Yeah.
The fact that you ended up with Guyton at a premium position with a premium pick right. and found a center earlier or later probably proves the point. The point is you're probably not going to find a left tackle later. I got to go. And I can find a center later. And
I was looking, Jeff, in that third round. If they didn't, say they took Barton, then I was looking at that third round where like Foster from Missouri and, you know, the kid from Notre Dame. I mean, those were the players I was looking at.
Fisher, yeah. I actually kind of liked him.
Yeah, Fisher. He's not a bad player. I mean, kind of a right tackle only.
Well, he was going to be the left tackle for Notre Dame from day one. And then he got hurt and he got Joe Alted. He got Wally pipped by Joe Alt.
Yeah, Joe Alt shows up and just like, there you go. Were you surprised he went a little bit later than they thought? I mean, I thought he was going to be a little bit, I thought everybody was talking about him as being a lot.
Who, Alt?
Yeah.
Didn't he go five?
I think he went, did he go five?
Well, am I crazy? Did I already forget the whole effing draft?
No, I thought he went a few picks later than that.
He went five. He was the Chargers pick. Yeah. He was the Chargers pick because I was wondering if they would go Latham.
Okay, why am I? Okay, I was thinking something else. I'm thinking
you've got some other O linemen on your mind.
No, he went earlier than because Tennessee was talking about him at seven. That was the thing. That was the thing about it. The Chargers were the surprise ones here.
Yeah, it was. It might have been a little bit of a surprise that he went five instead of seven.
That's what it was. It was the. That everybody kind of had him earmarked at Tennessee at seven, and he ended up going the Chargers at five. It was earlier than later.
A lot of people probably thought
that for being old some days, but I think the thing to go back to 70 to get the 73, because on my board they got a first round tackle and they got
You had a one on Guyton.
Yeah, I had a one on Guyton. I love that. 21 players on my board, first round grades.
I had like two first rounders.
Did you really?
Not really, but I did not have a high number this year. It was a really interesting class. I didn't love the pass rushers.
Yeah.
Which
one of those pass rushers did you like the best?
I kind of liked Verse.
Yeah, Verse was my number one guy.
Which I don't know, because you got to be careful. Like the Cowboys guy, right? Marshawn Nealand. How much are you allowed to like a guy that's a power player? When I'm like, we do live in 2024, where do I have to be able to turn the corner and go get sacks?
Yeah.
And like,
this is, when you start, that one was a little bit of a, that was a head scratcher to me.
Okay. I liked that one.
Yeah. Because to me, I saw, and maybe Jeff, this is where the Cowboys are drawing the line. Like, listen, you guys all talk about our defensive tackles and linebackers as being run defend problems.
Yeah.
Run defense problem guys.
This could be a Zimmer pick. It could be I need a run defending defensive line.
Yeah. I think that to me, that's kind of what we were thinking about though. I keep bringing up Golston,
Yeah. That's kind of the same player.
This was one of those picks where they said, listen, you guys can keep blaming our defensive tackles and linebackers for not playing the run. We need to be better on the edges. And this kid's got some power to him. He does have some power to him. His ability to stand there at the point of attack. I don't think he's a bendy guy, Jeff.
No, on tape he's not. The one thing I do is I go to my you know me. I'm part Broadus, part computer nerd.
Yeah.
I do go to his three cone time of 7 seconds and I go, it says it's in there. Yeah. It says that it's in there, but there's no doubt. He's a tank player. You hope he's Tank Lawrence. That's your dream.
See, people were comparing him. I think Tank, remember we watched Tank? Didn't he had pass rush at Boise though.
He's probably more advanced pass rusher at Boise than Nealand is.
And then I could go all the way back and they were comparing him to Greg Ellis. And I was like, no.
Greg Ellis compared him to Greg Ellis.
See, but that's what I was saying. I remember because I was in Philadelphia doing the draft there, and Greg Ellis went ahead of us. And I remember I went to Chapel Hill to watch Greg Ellis work out.
Poor Greg.
And I was like, I'm like, this guy's got some slippery ability to him, you know? Yeah. And, you know,
you just see oomph with this guy.
Nealon's a beast. I mean, yeah, as far as the power and stuff like that.
You just see a brawler.
I see a first step explosive guy, and then now it's like, okay, try and figure out how we're going to get around the edge.
Yeah. So, well, poor Greg Ellis, because that will forever be the year. What did you guys do in the first round that year? You were in Philly. Do you remember what you guys
Trey
did?
Thomas. Okay. I told Greg Ellis.
Of you could have had Randy Moss.
Oh, yeah. I blame Jeff Lurie. Jeff Lurie takes the heat for that one, by the way.
Oh, he took him off the board, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's the time that we were – I was in meeting with him, and there was – Curtis Enos was another one. He was talking all those owners.
Oh, you are in my heyday of watching college football. Curtis Enos, probably a few years after Tommy Frazier.
Curtis Enos is up there. We got him, like, in the second round. And Jeff Lurie goes – Brian, are we sure that we've got this Curtis Enos right? And I'm like,
yes, sir. That's why I put him there.
Yeah, and I go, Mr. Lurie, I go, he's a big guy. Watch him play. He's only going to get bigger, and he's only going to get slower.
Oh, no.
And sure enough, I mean, it happened that way. But the Randy Moss one, we had a guy in Philly. You know, Philly's now famous for their guy, that the security guy.
Yeah. Big Dom.
Matter of fact, met Big Dom when Philly was in town.
Yeah, you choke him out or what?
Introduce myself to him. Okay. But Big Dom is like, so anyway, we had Butchie. Butchie was a retired FBI guy. And Butchie was getting all my draft information. Like, Ryan Leaf had this big, I went to the NFL office in New York. Real quick story, if I can. I went to the NFL office. I got this folder on Ryan Leaf. And the NFL guy, you used to be able to go and get all the player background information. The league would run checks on these kids. And he was reading Ryan Leaf, and I go, you guys don't have everything on Ryan Leaf. And dumbass me, the guy looked at me and goes, excuse me? And I went, ugh. He goes, what did you say about Ryan Leaf? And I said, you don't have everything about him. And so I like pushed my notes across the table to him, and he kind of jotted down a few things that he needed to check. And so, yeah, it was that I can't keep my damn mouth shut sometimes.
You know? No, that's true, but that's okay. We like that. That's good. It's good for broadcast.
No, it's bad for like keep your damn. But anyway, Randy Moss. Jeff Lurie walked in there. We had a folder on Randy Moss, and Jeff Lurie said, listen, Brian, I just don't feel comfortable with the player if you don't mind. Now, he let me draft Jeremiah Trotter, though. He did let me do that, so I'll give him credit for that one, too.
Oh, you crushed it. Your one draft you get to run, you effing crushed it.
Mike Lombardi did a great job, too, man. He traded for Hugh Douglas, a second-round pick for Hugh Douglas, and Hugh Douglas played really well for the Eagles for a long time. But anyway.
I never put that together. Your one draft to run was the Randy Moss draft.
Yeah, 1998.
That's awesome.
It was a wild draft. That's the Manning Leaf draft.
Yeah.
Crazy how that all played. But the thing about it, too, is I think that Jeff Lurie later in life, when he had a chance to sign Michael Vick, I think maybe the Randy Moss thing kind of reappeared in his head.
At some point, he realized smoking weed doesn't mean you are a bad person.
Yeah. We passed on a really good receiver. One of the best to ever play. But you know what? We needed a lot that day. We needed more than Randy Moss. I mean,
this is why we don't draft for need, Brian. This is why Jeff will always forever stand on the draft is for the best player at the most important positions. If you'd have just picked Randy, you'd have figured it out. You'd have figured out tackle, you know, and you'd have had Randy Moss.
It's funny, though. I would have figured it, but I didn't get a chance to figure it out.
That's true. You that wouldn't draft, have figured it out.
After that draft, they said, hey, you can go do something else with your life.
Well, you're doing all sorts of fun stuff with your life, and I love it. And I look forward to all the things.
The Nealon thing and all that, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. If they can get him to rush that passer, though, that's a pretty impressive player, but he can play the damn run.
Can I ask you this? Would you have, because here's my theory on why Zeke is here, is this is just my theory, and you are in the building and more connected than I am, so you can tell me if you think I'm right. Because I believe the pick that would have been running back was the Notre Dame linebacker at the end of the third. And once you didn't do that, and the USC back went right after that, and then the fourth round, the Tennessee back goes, and the Kentucky and all the backs go, their place to pick a running back would have been where they picked the linebacker. Yeah. So once they decided that they liked the linebacker better than those running backs, it was over. And at that point, your only way to get a back is to trade. And next year, and the way the NFL works is move up around. You would have had to trade a 3 for a 4. And they didn't want to do that. And that's how we ended up with Zeke, is they decided that that Notre Dame linebacker was better than whatever running back they were going to pick. And I guess, one, do you think that's right? And two, did you want him to take a back there?
Oh, God, Jeff. Yes, I want him to take a back.
Okay. You're not ready for Zeke 2.0?
No, I was, man, they love Maris though. They love that kid, that Notre Dame linebacker.
They have to. I mean, they sacrificed what I think was probably their draft plan to do that.
And I think that's Paul Gunther, who is a longtime assistant with Mike Zimmer, who's been with him, Cincinnati. He's a defensive coordinator with the Raiders. I mean, he's a pretty respected guy around the league. I think this was his guy. I think he convinced Mike, but – we had a chance.
Coaches getting to make picks is my least favorite turn.
We had a chance to talk to the linebacker coach McCurley on before day three, and he was trying to explain how, and they were in a bad situation last year with what would happen. They losing all those guys, losing Overshown really hurt them. Losing Leighton Vander Esch really hurt them. And so they didn't want to get in a situation again, where they didn't have enough bodies. And this is a linebacker that they really, really coveted. And there's things about him that you can watch. His ability, I think he covers well enough.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, he is.
I love my linebackers being psychos, even if does mean you miss tackles.
They had two guys at Notre Dame. They had him and a kid named Bertrand that were, they were like – downhill attack linebackers. So to answer your question, yes. Once they passed in the third round on the running back, I give them credit for not just saying, okay, in the fifth round, we got to take a running back here. Instead they took the corner from Wake Forest.
I kind of like, especially where they got him.
I like him a lot. To me, I applaud them not for just saying, gosh, we've got to have a runner here. And then you take some guy that you end up cutting, and he's a practice squad guy, and he never plays.
Right.
So
they UDFA'd it. And
yeah, they did the right thing. They did the right thing there. I mean, me personally, when Lloyd from USC went off the board right behind that pick.
One pick later.
That's when I started to have flashbacks of Kendrell Bell. When we were in the Quincy Carter draft.
Kendrell Bell, the old linebacker?
Yeah, from Georgia. Kendrell Bell.
I remember him.
And we took Kendrell Bell. Well, we had a first-round grade on Kendrell Bell. Didn't have a first-round pick. It was our turn in the second round. The board told us to take Kendrell Bell, and we took Quincy Carter. And Kendrell Bell got picked the next pick behind us and by Pittsburgh.
I don't fault you for picking a quarterback, Brian. If you believe in a quarterback, pick that sucker.
Yeah. I don't know if we really believed in that quarterback.
Oh, that's a problem then.
That's a problem. But anyway, that's where Kendrell Bell went on to be AFC Defensive Rookie of the Year. And we were all like, and I'll just always remember that, because we had the player right. And we had an opportunity. The draft gods, as I say, threw us one, in the second round. We don't have a first-round pick. There's a first-round player on your board. Now you have a chance to draft him, and we didn't. And that's neither here nor there. But anyway, the once they passed on that running back in the third, it wasn't going to materialize. All those guys were going to be gone. It just if they thought that those guys were going to stretch, that wasn't going to happen.
I gave the work they did in the draft a B+. If you don't have to letter grade it, but did you like it, love it, hate it?
Yeah, I understood. I understood what they did. Like I said, I'm on board. There's certain things that I am clearly on board with that they were trying to do here. And
Do you have a guy you were pulling for on the Nealand pick? Did you have a guy in that range that you liked?
Yeah, I was trying to, like I said, I was trying to kind of, I was looking at a lot of different things at the Nealand pick. I was just.
I know it's hard to remember in this moment. Like, hey, who are you?
I mean,
right then.
Yeah, but it was, you know, one of those things though, Jeff, it wasn't like I was sitting there thinking, I was like going, everybody was thinking it was going to be the runner. You know, everybody was going to think it was the runner. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to take the runner. Because it's funny.
It could have been Trey Benson, Malachi Corley. You could have taken Junior Colson. I'm just flipping through the guys who were around that range.
The line, but yeah, there were clearly some guys. That, I'm just trying to remember who. But the thing that I remember, because everybody was talking about Benson.
Yeah, I like Trey Benson. I like him a lot.
Excuse me, Brooks.
Everybody he was gone, right?
Yeah, Brooks. Everybody was talking about Brooks. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I had people telling me, like, don't connect the dots. If he gets there, don't connect the dots. Where everybody else is like, no, they really like this guy. They'll take him, you know. And so I got some of these backs, I got kind of mixed messages on, you know. And yeah. I was like,
I think that's good. In the Garrett days, we all knew what they wanted to do. I like that people now are like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I just, like I said, I was in that mode where I was trying to kind of figure all that stuff out as we were going along. But I have no problem with what they did, especially with, you know, them being able to pull that 73rd from the Lions. And you know what? They traded with the right team because the Lions were a super aggressive team.
That's a go-get-our-guy team.
I mean, they were willing to give up picks, next year's picks, and all that stuff to be.
They love their guys. They will go get their guy, and yep, that's who you want to trade with.
Go get their guys.
Love it. All right, Brian. Well, it's wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to talk to you, and it's wonderful to believe that we might be able to do this a reasonable amount of the time moving into the future.
How about that? How about maybe that? They're going to let us work together again, huh?
How about it? All right. Well, everybody out there, enjoy this. When you see it, it'll come up. Well, why should I tell them? Like, I don't have to. Why would I tell people? Like, this is going to go up in like 8 hours. Just know it was recorded 8 hours ago. There's no reason to share that with anyone, but I just did. There's no reason to say that. Thank you, Brian. And
hey, thank you, brother, man. We'll see you down the road doing something else, okay?
Yeah, Brian will be on 105.3 The Fan from 2 to 7, G-Bag Nation, and I will be wherever I am. Remember, you have no idea what anyone's going through, so be cool to everyone. I love you. Be easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.